Everything changes when Jesus becomes Lord of your life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains what it means to have new life in Christ.
If you know Jesus, then you know that He's living in your heart because of His prompting. Because you can't cheat like you used to cheat, because you can't live like you used to live, because there's somebody living inside of you. Your body is His temple, and He's guiding you, and He's leading you, and life is different when Jesus lives inside.
The single most important event in a person's life is the new birth. Yet this is also one of the most neglected doctrines in the church. In our series, New Life Today, we'll discover what happens when a Christian becomes born again. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Living for God is not only our sacred privilege as Christians, but it is the most fulfilling, rewarding life possible. In the heart of every Christian, God has placed a compelling desire to live for Him. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Blessing of the New Life.
And you get an abscess tooth and that thing's full of all kind of decay and cavity. Man, you got to go to the dentist. They got to chisel that junk out of there. They got to fill it with metal. They got to cap it. And when you come home, your whole family thanks you because your breath smells better. Are you with me this morning? Look at, our bodies have a tendency to decay. And we can go get medicine and ointments, and you ladies can get all kinds of oil and rub it and vaporize with it and whatever else ladies do with oil. And we try to prolong this life, right? But I'm just telling you, you get out of bed, you hear it snap, crackle, pop every morning. That's what I hear, right? Our bodies are mortal. There's no hope in the flesh, but within your body, there is the presence of Jesus and His Spirit, and there's hope in the Spirit. In fact, notice in your notes, 1 Corinthians 15:53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, God says one day our mortal bodies that are decaying and falling apart, we're going to put those aside, and we are going to receive our new body. Our flesh is not redeemed. Our unredeemed humanness one day will fall away, and our new spirit will receive a new body, a glorified body, and we will be with the Lord forever. We'll lay down this mortality. We'll put on immortality, and we will live eternally with Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen on that? I'm telling you, friend, this is one of the blessings of the new life. This is something that God says, I'm going to do this for you because I'm in you. And the same power that raised me up is going to raise you up someday as well. This is the promise of eternal life. So we see when someone is saved, they receive the presence of Christ in them. He prompts our thinking. He convicts our sin. He comforts us. He guides us. He never leaves us. The presence of Christ. And we see that there is this promise of eternal life. This same resurrection that Jesus experienced, we will experience as well. So that leads us to a final and practical thought this morning, and that is the priority of this present life. So someone says, okay, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. What does that mean for me tomorrow? You know? How does that affect anything in my life today? Well, I want you to see how it does. Look at verse 12. It says, therefore, everybody say therefore.
Therefore.
Okay, everybody say it again a little louder.
Therefore.
Okay, whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, you look to see what it's there for. And it is referring back to the verse before it, which talks about the fact that we're going to be quickened by the Spirit. So because of that, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So what is my priority and your priority now? Letter A, we do not pursue the flesh. If we are saved and regenerated by the Spirit, we don't owe the flesh anything anymore. We owe God everything. And so God says you're not to pursue the flesh. The pursuit of the flesh will only bring spiritual death. So if you are a Christian and Jesus Christ is living in you and you say, okay, Jesus is in me, but you know, there's some things that I just need to have, some things I just need to do. And whether that's your party life, your drug life, whether that's your old relationships, I'm going to tell you, you might be saved, but if you mess around enough, I'm telling you right now, if it's for example, if you're a married man and you're messing around, you're going to kill your marriage. Right? You say, well, I'm saved. You go out, keep smoking your pot and doing all of this. You're going to bring death to your mind. See what I'm saying? Because you're sowing to the flesh and that brings death. Sometimes we'll see kids, 18, 19, and they get out of the house and it seems like the devil says something like, all right, look, yeah, you went to a Christian school, you had all those rules, now go live for yourself. Even some people say that at graduations, right? Go live for yourself, make the most for yourself. It's all about you, go have a good time. And so people, and some of you men would say, you got in the military and you sowed to the flesh. That's kind of where you were at that time in your life. You were sowing to the flesh. But now that you're saved, God says, and step back for just a minute. You're not a debtor to your flesh. The flesh hasn't done anything but get you in trouble. It gets you hangovers and it gets you problems. And you don't owe the flesh, so stop feeding the flesh. And start living in the Spirit. Start pursuing the Spirit. So now that we're saved, we don't pursue the flesh. The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. Places I used to go, don't go there anymore. We don't pursue the flesh. Romans 6 says it this way. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it to the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now that I'm saved, I yield myself to the Spirit, not to the flesh. Some of you have heard the story about an old Indian that was saved, and someone asked about what it felt like to be a Christian to him. And his description was a little bit crude, but illustrates the point. He said, sometimes it feels like there's two dogs fighting within me. One is an old dog, vicious, unmanageable, difficult. The second is obedient. It longs to serve Christ. It gives attention to the Lord. And he says, they're often fighting. And someone said, well, how does that go? Which one wins? And the old Indian said, oh, the one that I feed the most is the one that wins. Now, if we feed the flesh, if we're constantly looking at temptation, constantly thinking about the flesh, then we'll live a fleshly life. But if we feed the Spirit, we listen to preaching, we read the Bible, we get godly music in our hearts and homes, if we feed the Spirit, then we're going to have a spiritual life. You feed the flesh, you're going to have a fleshly life. And so the challenge of the new life is, don't feed the flesh. Don't pursue the flesh. But notice secondly in verse 12, it says, we're not debtors to the flesh. But then notice it says in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, we're not debtors to the flesh. Therefore, we are to live by the Spirit. Notice in verse 13, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. If you say, Lord, today I want to reckon myself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Christ. Today, Lord, I want to reckon myself dead to the flesh and alive to the Spirit, then we do not pursue the flesh, but now we are, letter B, pursuing the Spirit of the living God. We're mortifying the flesh, putting the flesh to death. And now then, notice thirdly, we grow in the family of God. Notice what it said there in verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let's read that verse together. Ready, begin. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, if you are led by the Spirit, let me illustrate it this way. Unsaved people don't have a burden for other people to get saved. If you have a burden for someone to get saved, that's the Holy Spirit burdening you. If you had a burden to come to church this morning, that was the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And all of us who follow that leadership of the Holy Spirit are called in this passage the sons of God. We are a part of the family of God. We have been washed by the blood, we have been indwelt by the Spirit, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the sons and daughters of God. We used to sing a song about that when I was a kid, and it talked about being washed in the Spirit, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and so forth, and a part of the family of God. Now that you're saved, what's the priority now? Not to pursue the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. And whoever walks in the Spirit is described as a son, or we could say as a daughter of God. 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are you the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, that's the incorruptible body, for we shall see him as he is, you see. What a blessing to be a part of the family of God. Sometimes people say, oh, I'll tell you, Pastor, my family's kind of a mess, and my dad's in jail, and this and this and the next. Hey, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what your past is. What matters is that Jesus Christ is now living in you. And when he is, you're the son of God, a part of the family of God. Because as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. If you receive him, you are the sons of God. Here are the blessings of the new life. The presence of Jesus in me. The promise of eternal life, this corruptible, putting on incorruption. And priorities in the present life. I have a purposeful life. It is no longer about the flesh. It is now about the Spirit. And it is now about walking in the Spirit. And it is now a life that is given over to being a part of the family of God with my church family. And tonight, I'll be preaching a special message entitled, This I Believe. And I'm going to tell you tonight some things that I'm still stirred up about. But one of those is the local New Testament church, where sons and daughters of God can get together and pray and encourage one another and visit in the hospitals and pray when a teenager is wayward and try to help one another through good times and bad times. It's a blessing to be a part of the family of God. And when you're a part of the family of God, God's Spirit is working in your life, and you're no longer a debtor to the flesh, but you wake up in the morning thinking, how can I live in the Spirit today? Lord, what do you want me to do today? I want to walk in the Spirit today. The blessings of the new life, don't take them for granted. I hear people say, I did the church stuff. I've read the Bible through 6 times. Right? Yeah, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I went on a mission trip in 1942. I got a Sunday school ribbon this long. Well, you know, congratulations. But this sermon series is entitled New Life Today. How's that going? Let's keep it fresh today. Let's be thankful today that Jesus is in us, that heaven awaits us, and that we have a purpose for living. And it's not about us anymore. It's about Jesus, because we owe the Lord Jesus for all that he's done for us. You see, the Apostle Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. He did so much for me. I want to live for him.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.